I want to talk about the job again for a minute.
Okay.
The job itself, has it been pretty consistently the same here?
Yeah.
You're translating documents.
Yeah.
And I take it you're translating court documents?
Yeah, here in Arusha, yeah.
Is that mostly court documents?
Mostly.
Yeah. I take it that you would also, however, sometimes again do witness statements.
Yes, yeah.
And things of that sort. And I think you've described to a certain extent the effect that that has on you.
Yeah.
And the that finally that people began to recognize the effects on the staff.
Yeah.
And started to do something about it.
Yeah.
In terms of the job, and why don't you bring me up to date? What are you doing now? Is it pretty much the same as you have been doing? And
you mean translation?
Yes.
It's more legal stuff here. A lot of legal stuff. Judgments, appeal documents, motions. Once in a while you get the witness statements as well, but it's more legal stuff here. It's a lot more challenging than it was in Kigali. Kigali, at some point you could just close your eyes because it's like when I had Interahamwe come in, I went and hid in the cupboard, stuff like that. Well, here it's the defense submits this and stuff. It's different.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I like challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like routine. I like people to throw challenges at me. Yeah.
And are you planning to stay here until whenever it ends, or what are your thoughts?
I'm a bit confused about that. If I get something that will make me work with women and children, I would not even think about it twice. If somebody offers me a job right now. Gender, because I've been doing I've done about 14 online courses just on gender, conflict prevention, HIV, AIDS, and things like that, because that is really where my passion is.
Okay.
So eventually I would like to go in that direction.
Well, that's a good transition to beginning to question you on the other on the other pattern of this this interview. You talked about going back that while in Rwanda itself, you started unofficially as an individual with some friends to assist single mothers or widowed mothers and their children, or women, whether they were childless or not. Some of them may have had children and perhaps were now childless. I assume some.
Okay.
And were there some particular kinds of services or products that you wanted initially when you were sort of still hadn't quite formed the organization that you were focused on? What are the kinds of services?
Initially, I think I used to help in four areas, if I'm not mistaken. I pay rent, school fees, I'll set up a business for you, small-scale business. Or if you're over 60, I just give you a stipend, you know, something, very little money, just for you to buy groceries.
Yeah. I missed the first one you said, a parent?
Rent. Okay. Yeah, house rent. And I'll meet them, I'll interview them, and I'll say, I can only help in one area. You decide in what area you need help the most. And if it is school fees, it's one child per family. And I tell them, you go home, think about it, pick one of your children, you give it to give them, give me that child, and I'll educate that child for you.
Okay. So you developed a structure right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I take it because you knew you had limited resources.
Yeah,
at that
exactly.
Point.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I also wanted to be clear from the very beginning, you know, because you are dealing with people who have all kinds of needs, and you know, when they meet you the first time, they want you to do everything for them, and I'm usually very, very clear. These are the areas in which I operate. These are the things I can do for you. My resources are limited, and I can only help you in one area. That had to be clear from the very beginning.
And then as you began to formulate an organization, that was like 98, I think you said.
Yeah.
98. Okay. Did what changed, if anything, about your approach and what you were focusing on?
I began to keep records of everything I did. I opened a file for each of my patients and, actually, to tell you the truth, I think I was kind of, to some extent, organized right from the very beginning. I'm a very organized person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very, very good at administrative organization. I don't like doing things in a haphazard way.
Well, then, why did you start an organization versus continuing to do it by yourself? Was there some reason you did that?
I wanted to do things properly. I wanted to have it registered. I wanted to open a bank. I wanted to have a constitution. Because when I tried to do that in the UK, they told me, you go and start first, and then you come back with evidence to show that you're doing something. Okay. You know, yeah.
Tell us about forming the organization and what you did then while you were still in Rwanda.
I decided that to give the organization a name. The first thing that came to my mind was sharing. I said, well, what I'm doing is just sharing the little resources I have. And eventually I decided to add the word love to it. And so that's the organization was now given the name Sharing Love. And then I approached colleagues, and people were very, very happy about what I was doing. And I got, initially I used to do an adopt a child kind of thing. Adopt a child meant that you pay school fees for a child. Or when you adopt a mother, you pay rent. So I'll talk to people and I'll tell you, I'll give a list of all my prospective beneficiaries, and then you select if you wanted to pay rent or if you wanted to pay school fees. Or I don't impose anything on anyone, and I realized that was a good approach, because somebody would look at the list and say, oh, I have a daughter called Rosine, I'll take this girl and educate her. And somebody would tell me, you know, I have an auntie who had problems, accommodation problem, and I know what it is when you cannot pay your rent. She was eventually evicted. So people identified with various needs, and on the basis of that, selected people they wanted to help, which was very good for me. And because of that as well, there was continuity.
Okay. And how did you, did others join your organization?
No, not really. People just gave me money.
Okay. Yeah. How did you raise money at that point?
I just approached people. And then people were living in Rwanda, and they knew what was going on in Rwanda, you know. And that was just it. And also not trying to blow my own trumpet or anything. People have a lot of confidence and trust in me. So getting money from people was not a problem.
Okay. Mm. And did there come a time when some people became more interested and began to provide some ongoing help?
Yeah, because like I said, it's a child per family. I have people who will decide to pay for 2-3 children in a family. And I have people who will tell me, like I had a colleague who was being transferred here, and he said, you know, I cannot continue this thing. Why don't you find out from the woman what she wants to do? And I sat with the lady and she said, okay, just buy me a cow. You know, in Rwanda, for them, the cows are a very, very big thing. She said, buy me a female cow. I can't remember if it was a female or male cow. Her neighbor had either a female or male. I said, they will come together and we'll share whatever comes out of it. I'll sell the milk and I'll slaughter the cows once in a while. And we did that for her. You know, so, I mean, because I also did not want this dependency thing to continue. And that's why I only gave people who were over 60 money. The rest of them, I tried to teach them how to fish. Yeah.
Or milk a cow.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you follow up to see?
I do. I have a report from. I have a community worker in Kigali. I mentioned it in one of my newsletters. Somebody told me to hire someone, and they would pay. And she's still there. Her name is Sharon.
Hire someone at the.
A community worker who would help me.
Okay.
So she used to go around because I had a full-time job as well. So she would go around and she would come and do it. And she still sends me reports. You know.
So that people you've helped, she follows up on.
She follows up, yeah. And then I also have orphans. Where I worked with commercial sex workers who I had one or two of them who died and left me orphans. I even have their photographs on the wall in my office. And I still buy them food. I mean, 7 years down the line, I'm still looking after those kids, 3 of them. You know, so Sharon takes care of that. At the end of every month, she buys them foodstuff, she takes it to them. Compassion has taken one of them. I mean, Compassion is educating one of them. Compassion.
Yes,
the NGO. Compassion. They have an office in Kigali.
So that's the name of the organization.
Organization, yeah, Compassion.
Ah, okay,
yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.